Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Tuesday, which means it's Fenway rundown time, and it's a very exciting Tuesday for the Red Sox, who are calling up Brian Bello, their top pitching prospect, maybe their most heralded pitching prospect in the last decade. I'm Chris Cotillo, and we'll be talking about that today on the show. We're going to have Katie Morrison, who covers the Woo Sox for us at Mass Live. She actually was the one that broke the news of Bello's promotion last night. Chris Smith is also on this episode, where he's going to talk about what to expect from Bello and some thoughts about some of the other young pitchers who have come up and performed so well in the last few weeks, and Josh Winkowski, Connor Siebold, and those guys. So a lot of minor league talk, a lot of Brian Bello talk. It's a big week, and we have it all covered for you here. It is Brian Bello Day on the Fenway Rundown as we anticipate his major league debut tomorrow. The Red Sox just made it official that he will be coming up, the Red Sox top pitching prospect, and pitching against Tampa Bay. But before the Red Sox announced it, Mass Live broke it first, and it was Katie Morrison, Wister at Polar Park with the big scoop on 4th of July night. So we have Katie, we have Chris Smith here. Talk about, you know, Bello, who he is, what to expect. But first, Katie, let's hear about how it all, you know, transpired last night at Polar Park.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, it's the 4th of July, so everybody was out at the fireworks. It was a really great game at Polar last night. They won on like an eighth inning home run. Anyway, so we go down to the clubhouse, and Chad Tracy, the manager, his door is closed, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. And so Bello comes walking out, and, you know, he can't contain his little smile. So he walks past me, and then he walks into the clubhouse, and he puts his arms up, and he kind of does a little dance, and all of his teammates that were in there, the few that were in there, all knew what was going down, and he was getting high fives and hugs from everybody. So I grabbed him, you know, on his way back. The funny part is we don't have an actual like official translator. Mm-hmm. Down in Worcester. Usually we have to have the bench coach Jose Flores be our translator, but he was out at the fireworks. So Yolmer Sanchez, big shout out to him, stepped up. he said he was auditioning for a job, you know, for mm-hmm. the future to be a translator. Did a great job. And you know, Bello could definitely barely contain his excitement. He was very, very happy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And obviously, you know, I think a lot has had to happen for us to get to this point. I mean, we've had in the majors, there's been so many injuries. Everybody knows Eovaldi and Whitlock are on the injured list, and as well as Rich Hill now, Michael Wacha, dead arm or heavy arm scratch from his start. And so we've seen, you know, a lot of these guys come up, and we'll get to that. Chris, why is now right for Bello? Like, why is now the time? Is it just, is he ready in your mind? And then also, this is quicker than I think we would have guessed heading into, you know, maybe spring training or opening day to see him in the majors. You know, started the year at AA, and here we are by the end of the first half, he's already up.
Yeah, I mean, he's 23 years old. He's made pitching nine outings in Worcester and made eight starts. So, you know, why not? I mean, I think that he's had enough development now. You know, is he going to be as good as he is in Worcester? Well, we'll see. But, like, you know, I really think that, you know, the development is there, and, you know, he's ready. And obviously it was a forced situation in a way. I mean, yeah. Who else are they going to pitch right now? You know,
you.
potentially Chris Murphy from, you know, who's just made one start at Worcester so far and isn't on the 40-man roster. So, you know, it was a situation where, you know, you had the feeling yesterday if Cutter Crawford was going to get in the game, and there was a possibility, you know, if they had pitched Davis for three innings and then, you know, brought in Danish, maybe Crawford wouldn't have gotten in the game. Once Crawford got in the game, it felt like, you know, it was a good possibility that Bayo was going to start on Wednesday because they essentially had no one else. But right. I think, you know, it's not like they're rushing him. He has made, you know, eight starts at Worcester. And, you know, I mean, he you know, he was at Portland last year too. And so, you know, we'll see.
Well, when did he really get under your radar? I mean, it seems like he was a quick riser in the last couple of years, a guy that, you know, as of, you know, maybe before COVID, people didn't even know that much about.
Yeah, I think last year, you know, especially, I mean, to begin the year, he was striking out a lot of batters, and, you know, there was reports about how he was throwing his fastball in the triple digits. And so, you know, that spiked my interest, obviously. I think I first feature on him was last May, and another tweet kind of like, you know, blew me away kind of, and was like, oh, this kid might be for real, is that Peter Gammon said that a front office person told him that in a May start that Bayo's fastball was up to 97 the other night, and his changeup was the best changeup he's seen since Pedro Martinez. Now, I don't know if we're going to, you know, I don't know if he has as good of a changeup as Pedro Martinez. Yeah. That might be a little bit of exaggeration, but when I was talking to Cole Cottam the other day for an article on, you know, several pitchers, asking him about them, he said, you know, his two seamers great, his two seamers great, his slider's great, his changeup might be the best. And, you know, and Eddie Romero raved about the changeup last year too. So, you know, with Gammon's tweeting that out, I mean, it's a front office member that said it, you know, so it has to be somewhat, you know, near the truth. And so, you know, that's kind of when he came on my radar, was, you know, last May.
And this year, you know, in Portland, in six starts, 1.60 ERA, 4-2, 42 strikeouts and 33 2/3 innings. It was mid-May he came up to Worcester there in those, in 51 1/3, you know, 2.81 ERA and 72 strikeouts, which, you know, is obviously a pretty good clip. And he had, I think, back-to-back, you know, 10 strikeout games to start his time there. Katie, from getting to see him, you know, at least a handful of times here, is he as electric as the rumors are?
Yeah, he really is. You know, the Woo Sox have been lucky to have a lot of good starters this year. And
not anymore.
Not anymore. he still, I think, stands out amongst them. I mean, everything about him, his stuff, his demeanor, it's kind of electric. Yeah. When you watch him pitch, and, you know, he's very confident, like nothing really seems to shake him. You know, one thing that we kept talking about with the managers wanting to see him in different situations, you know, with getting into jams, and those situations weren't coming up that often because he just was pitching so well. But every test that did come up, he passed. I mean, one game that wasn't a start, I think it was Josh Taylor was here for a rehab, and so he had to come in the second inning, and I mean, he was great. Didn't bother him a bit. And yeah, it's definitely been a lot of fun to watch him. It's you can tell that he's got some special stuff for sure.
Yeah, Smith, did he pitch once in Major League spring training this year? Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think he pitched much. But actually, going to the point that Katie said about confidence, Cole Cottam actually said that to me the other day when I was talking to him. He's like, wow, you know, he walks around with confidence. And, you know, I mean, obviously he does because of that story that Katie had put out earlier in the year where he said that, you know, he likes Pedro Martinez, or, you know, he's a big Pedro Martinez fan, but he wants to be better than him. So, you know, that shows he's confident.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a quiet confidence too. I mean, he's really popular with his teammates. Everybody was super excited for him. And, you know, it's this, you know, it's not really like cockiness. It's just, he seems to, things just seem to kind of roll off his back. You know, when he gets into trouble, he doesn't seem to get, at least not outwardly, frustrated. You know, he just seems to keep his cool and, you know, just keep, keep doing his thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in the story of the last few weeks, at least the last week for the Red Sox, has been the pitching depth. And we've seen, you know, this now, Bayo is kind of the star of the system in terms of pitchers, in terms of starting pitchers, but there are, you know, three guys that have come up and done at times a pretty good job. I think Josh Winkowski has been excellent. Connor Siebel looked better in his last outing on Sunday, and Cutter Crawford looked great yesterday. We've talked about this, you know, with Dave Bush, with Brian Abraham on this show before. There's just so much depth that, you know, the Red Sox have been able to really withstand, you know, all these injuries and kind of, you know, make the best out of it. Chris, with those three guys, who has impressed you the most of that trio so far? I think, you know, Winkowski's the easy answer, but, you know, Crawford has looked good as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, Crawford pitched exceptionally well yesterday, and it was because of command. I mean, he was really throwing strikes and getting ahead in the count.
Lots of curveballs, right?
Lots of curveballs, as Red Sox stats on Twitter pointed out. And mm-hmm. So, like, if he was getting behind, he said he was getting back in the count with his cutters and his curveball. Now, like, the pitch mix was terrific. I mean, you know, like, he threw like all five pitches several times. And so, like, you know, I mean, it's interesting. He said he made some mechanical adjustments, and, you know, he has an interesting windup that's similar to Shane Bieber's, where it's very, compact and short. But he made some mechanical adjustments, a few weeks ago or whatever. And, you know, that's helped with the command. But yeah, I mean, we saw him in, where's that other place that he was really good at the last road trip?
Seattle.
Yeah. So, I mean, he looked good in Seattle. Obviously looked really good. This is the best I've ever seen him. You often think, like, he's got 95 miles per hour average fastball yesterday, and that's been about where he's at this year. I think actually exactly where he's at this year. It's like, maybe hitters are seeing it, better than when it comes out of his hand, better so it makes it look slower. But I mean, everything was clicking yesterday, and so maybe the mechanical adjustments have made a really good change. Obviously, Josh Winkowski has impressed me just because of the weak contact that he's induced. Like, I think it was like 75 mile per hour average exit velocity the other day when he started. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he hasn't gone against, you know, the Yankees and the Rays and the Blue Jays yet. But, you know, Cleveland's a good team, and every team is a, you know, every major league team is a major league team, right? And so, he's looked really good. He's been confident. That's another guy that, you know, like Cole Gunnum is like, you know, this guy, like, he just, you know, is as tough as nails, a real competitor. And so, I've been really impressed by him. Who's the other? Oh yeah, Siebold. Obviously the swing and miss was there in Toronto. You saw her 21 swings and misses. Mm-hmm. I think that the important thing with him is just commanding the baseball and getting the fastball up to maybe, 93-94 area.
Yeah.
And David Price texted Core and said this kid's stuff looks good. Actually, you know, I think it was Red Sox stats on Twitter. I always seem to mention
it. It always is, yeah.
He actually I think it was him. He just said, like, I'd like to see what Siebold looks like in short, stints. Like, when he lets it just go, when he lets it fly, so like a 2-inning, 3-inning relief appearance. And it's a good point. I mean, you've got all these guys, and I wrote in the article last Wednesday, like, you've got all these guys. And so you do have some, starting pitching in the future here. You have some, but you also have pitching, you can use some of those guys in a Whitlock type role. And so obviously I've probably been most impressed by Winkowski, but Cutter the last few has really impressed me too.
Katie, with these guys that you've, seen all year and even before, in a couple of cases, how impressed are you with what they've been able to do at the major league level? Are you surprised by kind of the immediate success, especially for Winkowski?
It's been really fun to watch. I'm not really surprised. I mean, they've all of them have been really consistent, shown really good stuff at AAA this year. You know, I think it's, I was really happy to see, you know, Siebold have a better outing. I think that he has good stuff. He, you know, Smith mentioned his fastball velocity. You know, it was at times, you know, sitting around 93, 94 down in Worcester, but it not always, you know. So, and, you know, with Winkowski, I guess actually maybe I am a little bit surprised just because kind of maybe leapfrog these other pitchers who were kind of ahead of him. But you know, Wink's he's a really hard worker. I mean, they all are, but you know, after kind of his first outing, kind of a tough outing, you know, I think he really buckled down, made the adjustments that he needed to make. And, I'm excited to see what they've been doing. It's been really fun to see.
And I haven't really talked to Crawford much, but at least in the Winkowski and Siebold, both seem like, you know, pretty bright guys and pretty good quotes. Obviously Winkowski the other night made big headlines for insulting Wrigley Field, so Cubs fans were not happy about it, but he seems like he's a pretty candid guy and pretty good with the media.
Yeah, I really like all three of them, and they're all, you know, like you said, they're, you know, intellectual in these different ways. Wink is so candid, you know, he will say what he's thinking. If he's, you know, beating himself up, he will say that. If he thought he pitched like crap, he will say that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really nice to actually, you know, both Chad Tracy and Paul Abbott have said, you know, sometimes you need to reel it in a little bit, make sure that he's not being too hard on himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Connor is a really smart guy. He definitely knows what he needs to do. And I think that, you know, yeah, he's a really smart pitcher too. And I think that, like, as he makes adjustments, I think he'll get even better. And Cutter too. I think that after his stint in the bullpen this year, when he came back down to Worcester, he maybe wasn't super sharp. He could have gotten frustrated. He could have, you know, he really focused. He worked on his command. He worked on what he needed to do. And I feel like he really looked like a different pitcher, you know, especially when he's gone back up and pitched for the Red Sox recently than early in the season.
How much of this do you attribute to, and obviously, you know, Heim Bloom identifying talent, people in the front office, there's that, and they get Siebold and Winkowski in trades. And, you know, I think Crawford was drafted under Dombrowski, I think, but, you know, those guys getting the other two in trades is pretty good. How much of this do you attribute to Paul Abbott, what he's been able to do? Because he seems like, you know, I don't know how much people rave about, you know, AAA pitching coaches normally, but it seems like, you know, a lot of people both in Boston and Worcester, you know, think he's one of the best.
Yeah, everybody just has nothing but good things to say about him. I think that one thing about Abby is that he really gets guys ready for the majors. He doesn't sugarcoat things. You know, he helps guys be ready, not just, you know, for what they do on the mound, you know, with their stuff, whatever, but how to be professionals, what to do when they get there. And I think that is really helpful to them. And, you know, I think, oh, I can't remember who said it the other day, but like, I think Zach Kelly said it, that, you know, he's a tough love kind of guy. Like, he will tell you what you need to hear, but at this level, those guys need it, you know? Right. I mean, it doesn't do them anything to sugarcoat things. And honestly, just this whole staff, I mean, I think that what the manager has been able to do in his first year here to manage a ton of pitchers. I mean, they have the AAA roster is kind of crazy. They have, I mean, maybe like 13 relievers at times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been able to get everybody in there. He's been able to kind of match up, you know, not really have personal catchers, but Bayo has developed a good relationship with Wong, and Siebold has developed a good relationship with Hernandez. They're all working on their communication, like language wise. Mm-hmm. So I think really this is a really, really good AAA staff. I mean, major league quality, you know, coaches down here.
And, you know, Rob Refsnyder said that last week on here, you know, talking about, and this is a guy that's, I was just looking at it, you know, been in AAA in 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, and 22. I mean, it's a guy with a ton of AAA experience. He said that it's the most well-run, you know, AAA system he's been in. There's, you know, he's been with the Yankees, he's been with Tampa and Toronto, Minnesota, a bunch of other clubs. So I thought that was kind of notable. Chris, how do you see this playing out here in the next couple weeks? I mean, who do you think stays? Who goes? It seems like, you know, Winkowski's pretty much locked in, but with some of the other moves, you know, they're not going to be able to have Siebold for a couple turns through the rotation, I think, after optioning him. So how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I mean, if Bayo pitches well, you know, he'll continue to pitch, you know, for now. I mean, you know, Evaldi today is throwing an up and down, so that would be Tuesday. I don't know when people are listening to this podcast, but that would be Tuesday, July 5th. Evaldi is throwing it up and down. Whitlock is too, but Whitlock's going to be in the bullpen when he comes back. And, you know, I mean, like, it could be a long time for, you know, any of these guys like Rich Hill or Michael Walker. You don't know. I mean, they hope to get Michael Walker back at the end of the week. They said they don't think it's anything structural. Mm-hmm. And but you never know. I mean, the Red Sox often tell us at first, like, oh, he's going to be back within the 15 days of the IL. And, right. You know, they made that indication. They indicated that with Whitlock and Evaldi.
That hasn't, like, not even close.
And they would have been ready, I think, the first game in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And now we're here, what, a week and a half later or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, or whatever, you know what I mean. And so, you know, so I think that, you know, I think that the Red Sox tend to play down things at first. And so I wouldn't be surprised if some of these guys needed a long time. So, you know, Bayo, Winkowski is definitely going to, you know, stay in the rotation. Bayo's going to get his shot here.
And I'll open up to both of you. Who do you think, you know, of this group profiles the best as a reliever? I know you mentioned Siebold might be able to do it. With Bayo, one of those blue chip guys, you know, I think they, if they had their preference, they'd keep him in the rotation. But could Winkowski be in relief? And what do you think?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think all of them have the ability to, you know, be that guy that, like, you know, I'm not saying do it as well as Whitlock did it last year, but, you know, have that ability to go 2-3 innings and bridge the gap. Who's the best? You know, like, I thought, like, Crawford was going to be really good out of the bullpen. I think that, you know, it was different for him, and you know, he got away from being aggressive and throwing strikes. His walk rate last year, you know, between Portland and Worcester was 1.9 walks per 9 innings, and then this year in the majors he's been 5.5. So, I mean, if this guy can, you know, cut down on the walks, and he showed that yesterday, I think he could be very effective in that role. As I said, Siebold's interesting in that role. You know, I'm assuming they'd like to keep Bayo as a starter. So, you know, when they, you think that unless he's, you know, pitching insanely, that when, you know, when everybody's back, he would continue on as a starter at Worcester. But, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. If he's pitching insanely, he forces his way into the rotation. That's what Eduardo Rodriguez did in, what is it, 2015 or 16, mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, like, there was supposed to be a spot start thing. And, you know, he forced his way in, and he never, you know, came out. So we'll see. But, like, you know, Winkowski is another guy that, and Alex Spear has mentioned it, is somebody, like, he asked Cora that question specifically after Winkowski's first start this year. Like, what do you think about his stuff in, like, small spurts, you know, like, you know, 2-3 innings? And, you know, so, and he showed it in the Arizona Fall League where, you know, he's got the ball up to, in those short outings, relief outings, up to near 100 miles per hour. I think it was like 98, 99. So, yeah, I mean, as I said,
he wasn't getting in brawls. Yeah.
Yes. So, like, it's interesting, as I said, because, you know, pitchers are pitchers. And I think that's what they look at themselves as today. You know, starting pitching is obviously the role you're probably going to get the most money in and stuff and yada, yada, yada. But all those roles have become so valuable now, like between, you know, the super reliever type middleman that bridges the gap or setup man and starter and closer that, they just have a bunch of arms and, you know, they have potential to use people in, you know, different situations here.
Right. Katie, what do you think?
Well, you know, before Winkowski kind of wedged his way into the rotation here, I probably would have said that he would be the candidate, you know, for moving to the bullpen. I think his stuff plays well in those short stints. I think he has kind of the right demeanor for it. I think I would like to see him be able to just kind of air it out, you know, just kind of be aggressive for two innings or something like that. But I think that Bayo could do it. I mean, obviously I don't know if they would want him to, if they would want to, you know, mess with his, you know, progression or whatever, but I think that this kid is just gonna like come out firing whenever he's put in the game. You know, I don't think that he's a huge, you know, please don't disrupt my routine. I need to be very, you know, he just kind of is get it, throw it. You know, another thing about Bayo is, you guys are going to love it. He just pitches faster than anybody I've ever seen. Like,
Kevin Plawecki holds the record whenever he goes in. So,
hopefully
he can beat that.
Yeah. It's, it's crazy. Like, you know, I'm always taking photos and stuff, and usually I will take my camera down and look, and then I will put it back up, and I don't have time to with Bayo. He's like, just get it, throw it. He's like standing there with his glove out waiting, like, all right, let's go, ball back. Mm-hmm. And but it keeps hitters on their toes. I mean, when you have major league rehabbing guys, or guys who have been in AAA for a while, hitting against them, they're uncomfortable. They're irritated. You know, they don't like it. And so that could be an interesting little tool, little weapon to have as well, to really throw off people's timing and to, you know, make them uncomfortable. I mean, you have to remember these guys are coming up from this kind of new world of the minor leagues with a pitch clock,
and
which I love. Mm-hmm. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
But you know, so it's that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, that's what I think.
Well, actually, with what Katie said about, like, you know, like, the, you know, with Bayo, it's like, yeah, he can do it. Do they want to, you know, bury his routine, you know, take him out of that routine as a starter? It's actually interesting. I mean, there's obviously a lot of starting pitchers over the years, you know, Justin Masterson have established themselves as, you know, as relievers before they have starters. But I think the Red Sox, to some degree, regret what they did with Darvinson Hernandez.
And Barnes. Somewhat. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like, you know, so like with Darvinson, it was like, you know, like you listen to what Cora said during spring training. They were like, this kid just didn't really have enough time to develop because, you know, he was pitching in the relief role. We run him up so early, he said, and he was pitching in that relief role. And, you know, he had so many, you know, he didn't have the time in between games to really work on mechanics. And, you know, it was like 2 or 3 years that happened. You know, the mechanics and the, you know, command never improved and stuff. So, you know, maybe they look at that with Bayo and they're like, well, you know, he's the top pitching prospect the Red Sox have had in, you know, several years. And so, you know, maybe they want to be careful with him in that respect.
Yeah, for sure. And we will find out at least the start of his major league career Wednesday night. A big day, I think, you know, one of those you're going to want to watch you don't want to watch all 162 games during the season. Like, the three in Chicago are all brutal, but you're going to want to watch on Wednesday night. I know both of you will. So that's Katie Morrison, the owner of definitely the biggest Red Sox scoop we've had, at least this year at Mass Live. So I loved it. And Chris Smith, who is now heading on to paternity leave. So good luck, Smitty. And thanks.